Welcome to the Best People We Know radio show. This is where you'll meet experts and celebrities who share their success secrets with you to help you be your most successful best too. Your host, Deb Scott, is a certified professional coach at Discover the Amazing You Coaching and author of the award-winning motivational book, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up. The Best People We Know radio show brings you powerful resources, effective ideas, and transformational tools you can use to educate, inspire, and motivate you to be your most purposeful, peaceful, happy best. So get ready to experience mind vitamins to feed your whole soul. Good change is about to happen. The Best People We Know radio show. Here's your host, Deb Scott.
Well, hello and happy Monday to the best people I know, and that would be you listening, whether you're live or a replay. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. It's really a great time that we all spend together helping each other be our best. And today we have Erin Wells, who is back actually by popular demand. I had such rave reviews on her show on organizing our life from the inside out and outside in that we have her back today helping us clear the clutter, downsizing, dealing with inherited items. A lot of people listening to the show are baby boomers, and I know myself, I've dealt with this, and I know firsthand how important it is to have an expert that you can trust, and I think the key word here is trust, and Erin Wells is going to help us today deal with a lot of things in our life to help us be free of, I guess, just the fear and the negative energy, and it's just going to be a great show. And if you want to ask her a question, you know that you can call in 347-637-1318. You just press 1, and that'll put you right through to the switchboard. Before I read her bio, for those of you who didn't listen to the past show with Erin, and you can do that if you go to iTunes, you can look in the archives, just go to iTunes, Best People We Know, and you'll find her in there. I wanted to let you know about a couple of exciting events going on. Well, one is the Motivation Marathon, which I'm co-hosting with Elizabeth Hamilton, who's the Best Ever You magazine editor, with some amazing ladies who are going to help you keep yourself motivated. And if you go to motivationmarathon.com, all one word, motivationmarathon.com, you'll get a 30-page ebook, Step Into Your Greatness Now book, which is alone amazing and worth the effort, price of admission. And then you'll get that worry-free update. You can listen to the replays. And I really hope you can engage in this and join us, because it's an interactive teleseminar, and it's free, and it's fun, and we're the best. So might as well, spend June 11th with us. It'll be a lot of fun. And if you mark us as a favorite and get the worry-free updates, you can get news on special shows like today with Erin, and that would be awesome and help spread the news. We're at about 15,000 listeners now, which I think is awesome. A lot of the categories were number 1 or 2%, which is unbelievable, and I just have to thank you for making us a hit. If it wasn't for you spreading the word, we couldn't have a show for you, so make sure that you help us help you by telling people about the Best People We Know radio show. So let me tell you about Erin Wells and how she's going to help us today, because Erin Wells knows something about helping people downsize, deal with the task of sorting through inherited belongings, and clearing the clutter. Erin is a certified professional organizer, CPO they call it, and she's also CEO and founder of Living Peace LLC, a professional organizing company that assists residential and small home office clients to improve their organizational systems throughout the greater Boston area and beyond. So if you're another part of the world, you can still contact Erin and go to her website, livingpeace.com, and she still can help you. So just because she's a star in the Boston area doesn't mean she can't be a star in your life wherever you are. Living Peace has a holistic approach to professional organizing that looks at the entire picture of the client's life to develop systems that will support the client's needs on all levels. This is the physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual. This is the key that makes Erin such a shining star in this area. With a Master's of Divinity degree from Harvard Divinity School. Wow. And a background in interfaith work, Erin and her Living Peace organizers focus on supporting clients to create the systems and habits to support all of their clients' goals. Yes, she is concerned about you. It's a humble place of service, which Erin comes from, which is why I'm so grateful to have her on as a guest to help you today. Through her company, Living Peace, Erin also offers productivity and strategic life consulting services, as well as motivational speaking and workshops internationally. And Erin can help you define your potential and live on purpose, move to find life balance, spirituality, and physically organize your life. And you can find her and contact her at livingpeace.com. And it is my pleasure to welcome back our friend, Erin Wells. Hi, Erin. How are you today?
Hey there, Deb. Thank you so much. That was a fantastic introduction.
Well, you're a fantastic person. What would you expect? I couldn't even, you know, I'm limited to 2,000 characters because I could have written, you know, five times that about you, and people are just going to have to go. They're just going to have to go to the website, which is really unbelievable. You could stay there for hours. All the tips, all the tools, all the categories. I mean, you
absolutely
just have to.
Well, and Deb,
so
let me just pause, because you're right, the website's fantastic. If they really want to go to the website, they need to go to living-peace.com.
Okay,
you
my
go to living-peace.com and you won't find us. Living-peace.com. Just want to make sure everybody gets that one.
Okay, well, I'm glad. Thank you for clearing that up. Best people always help each other be clear. Thank you very much. You know, last time, and I hope people go to the archives to listen to that show because it was really a hit, you really helped us, you know, organize from that spiritual perspective, the emotional, the physical, and I think that was a great show. But today's show, we're gonna talk about something that I think a lot of the listeners are really going to love, because, you know, we have all ages, actually. I mean, we have youth listening to the show, which is great. But a lot of baby boomers, I think, are dealing with this, inherited sorting, and people today with the economy and getting a little bit older, people are wanting to downsize. And this is going to be a great topic because you do this so well and so often. And the difference from having you do it with somebody and helping with your tools to trying to figure it out and reinventing the wheel ourselves, it's huge. So, you know, I mean, I really have so many questions for you, but I think the first thing that people may want to know is, why is it so hard for us to downsize? It seems like it should be simple. We want to do it, but it just doesn't really happen. Why is it so hard, Erin?
Absolutely, Deb. Well, most of the time, first of all, it's just overwhelming. We're trying to make so many decisions from one second to the next, and each of those decisions is really a soul-searching opportunity. It's you're looking at your values and trying to determine what's true about me now and what's going to be true about me in this next chapter of my life, and where do these things, this stuff, this clutter sometimes, where does it all fit in? And so you're having to ask all these questions over and over again about, is this still important to me? When would I use this again? Why would it be necessary? You know, where does this fit in my plan for my life moving forward? And, you know, it's a lot of judgment calls. It's a lot of trying to figure out and sometimes facing previous decisions that, you know, might not be as comfortable. Every once in a while you look and say, why did I buy that? Goodness gracious, what was I thinking when I brought this into my life? And you're having to look at it and go, you know, I really don't need this anymore. I maybe didn't ever need this. And really let go of those past chapters, and letting go of those past chapters and past decisions, it's really an emotional process.
Mm. And the other thing is, too, I think it's generational. I know with my parents having to go through their stuff, still going through it, and both of them passed away, as you know, within a year of each other. But,
yeah.
Wow, that Depression era, I think because they were so concerned that they would be without, they saved everything. I mean,
yeah.
Down to the baggies and the little, you know, anything.
Twisties.
And everything.
Yeah, absolutely. We've seen it so many times. I've seen it with clients. I've seen it with family. Yeah, there was a recognition that anything and everything could have value, and so therefore so many things got saved. And whether that is you and you're recognizing that's true of your decision-making process, or whether it was the generation previous and it was your parents making those decisions, suddenly, you know, if it lands on your doorstep, you're having to make those decisions that sometimes are defying the values of your ancestors, defying the values of your you know, parents who raised you.
Right.
I can remember a client of mine who really struggled with that because his mother saw value in everything. And here he was trying to figure out how to make it okay to throw away things that his mother kept.
Yeah,
and
you know, you bring up such a good point, and I just want to pause for a minute because I think it's so important. And I know for myself, I work with people, and I think that anybody listening will agree with this. We feel sometimes stuck in our life, and we don't realize that a lot of what we do is self-sabotage by keeping the things outside of us stuck, keeping those old things that don't serve us anymore.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
I think one of the benefits to what you offer as a service is not only clearing and downsizing the things for the physical, but it really will help us be happier. It really will help us be more peaceful, which is, you know, the great name for your business, Living Peace. So I think
it creates space for growth. It's, you know, if you want to have something new come into your life, if you want to start a new chapter, if you want to create a new business, if you want, you know, whatever it is, wherever you are in your life, if you don't clear out the old stuff, then there's no space for the new stuff to really blossom.
Okay.
And well, I'm talking stuff in terms of physical stuff. I'm talking stuff in terms of emotional, mental, and spiritual, all of it, you know, which is why I love working with people who work with coaches. I love working with coaches. But, you know, people who understand that really part of growing, part of engaging, part of blossoming in our lives is really about that examination process and that releasing process and just continuously walking through that over and over again throughout our lives.
Right, and you know, this is why it's so great to have you on as a guest, because in the Best People We Know Club, where you have to have that genuine concern for the other person achieving their greatest good, and I think your divinity school training and your holistic approach and all of that really can benefit us today. So let's take an example for somebody that's listening that maybe wants to go from, you know, a big house to a smaller house or a condo, and talking about that process. And also we're going to get into how to deal with, and you use the example of one of your clients, and I know this for myself, how do you get through sorting the inherited belongings and not feeling like you're throwing your parents away by throwing or donating or getting out of your space those things that our parents may have treasured or cherished or just held on to for years and years and years. So do you want to start with an example of just maybe downsizing where we live today and how to decide what to keep and what to let go?
Absolutely, Deb. It feels so overwhelming when you look around a big house and you say, okay, I know I want to get from here to a smaller, simplified, more, you know, streamlined lifestyle. You just kind of look around and go, I don't know where to start. And what I can tell you is it's really simple. You start by sorting. I'm not talking about making decisions about what stays or goes. I'm talking about simply sorting things into similar categories. Bring all the books together. Get them all in one place. If you need to subsort them, that's fine. But, you know, when you're going around your house or your space, you want to pull everything that's similar together because you're going to make stronger decisions about what stays and what goes if you see everything you have of a particular category. So it's a heck of a lot easier to let go of this particular pair of black pants when you realize that you own 12 of them.
That's so funny. All right, so for you listening, I know the first thing that we all feel when we hear, okay, we've got to do this, we've got to start somewhere. I love how you say the first thing you have to do is not make a decision except to just sort. So that feels pretty pain-free, Erin, that all you're telling us to do to begin this process is to set ourselves up for success, to make better decisions by just sorting like items together.
Exactly, exactly. Just start grouping. And if it feels big and overwhelming, just start wandering around your world. And any time you see something that isn't with its friends, put it wherever its friends are. And, you know, whether you get around to dealing with that particular category today, tomorrow, 2 weeks from now, 2 months from now, at least that one more thing is in a group of its friends. Mm-hmm. So you start by sorting, and then really the work that we do, it comes down to schedule small blocks of time. Now, I say small, and what I'm really meaning is the ideal time is really around 3 to 4 hours. Look at your calendar upcoming and just find a half a day that you can block aside and say, I'm going to start working on this during this half day. And during that time, all you have to do is sort, wander around your house, and put like things together. And when you're done with that 3 or 4 hours, look at your calendar and do it again. Because you're not going to get it done in a day. You're going to completely wipe yourself out if you try and do it all in a weekend. And, you know, not to mention you're probably going to disappoint yourself by discovering it's not possible. And, you know, but if you take it slowly, you take it a piece at a time, you're going to have success. That's one of the keys to why we structure our work the way we do.
Mm. Okay, so sort and schedule. And what would be the next part of the process?
The next part of the process, once you go through the sorting process, however long that takes, I mean, generally I would suggest that you start in a single room and just sort that room. Once you've sorted everything in that room, all of the things are in like categories, the next step is to make those decisions about what stays, what goes. So look at each category independently and say, what in this group do I still love, use, need?
Love, use, need. Okay, everybody, write that down. Love, use, need. That's a good way of looking at it.
Because, you know, if you haven't used it, if it's not, you know, essential to your future world, or it's not something you love to look at every day, then what the heck is it doing in your life? You know, this is not something that's relevant for you in your life right now, and it's probably not, you know, then you have to ask that question of, is there any reason I think it's going to be? And this isn't a maybe someday. This is a under what circumstances would it be?
Okay,
and how likely are those circumstances going to come up?
So if you haven't used it in 6 months, a year, I mean, what do you usually tell your clients?
I let the client choose that. It depends on the person. You know, I can't tell you my standards because those may or may not feel authentic for you. So I usually let the client say, you know, when I'll ask the question directly, when was the last time you used this? Under what circumstances do you think you'd be using it again? And, you know, if their answer is, well, I haven't used it in 2 years, and I honestly can't imagine the circumstances under which I'm actually going to want this, that makes it pretty easy. If they come up with a hypothetical theory and I go, okay, well, when is that likely to happen in your life? And they tell me 15 years from now, then I kind of will look at you and go, okay, well, is it really worth storing this for the next 15 years on the hypothetical possibility that it might be useful?
Good question. And the other thing is, I think for me personally, I know I feel really good when I donate things and
mm-hmm.
I feel as though somebody else can use this where I'm not. So, you know, maybe the question to also ask if you're a person that enjoys that is, could somebody else benefit from this more than me?
Absolutely, Deb. Thank you for saying that, because so frequently we forget that something we're keeping for a hypothetical maybe someday could be immediately and immensely valuable to someone today, right now. You know, I have a great story about that from a client of mine, and we were working in his basement, and we came across a couple of suitcases of old coats, and he'd put them down there 4 or 5 years earlier. They were old coats from him and his wife, and they had gone down there because, you know, they'd gained a little bit of extra weight, and those coats didn't fit so well anymore. And I asked him, you know, when are you going to want these coats again? He said, well, you know, when we drop the weight. And I said, well, are you actively working on that right now? Is this something that's going to be happening in the next couple of months? He said, well, no, I mean, I keep trying, but you and I both know what that story looks like.
Oh, it's very difficult as you get older for me anyway.
You know, exactly. We've all been down that road of, yeah, we want to do that, but we're really not actively working on it right now. And I just looked at him and I said, you know, it helps that it was November when we were having this conversation. I looked at him and I said, you know, there's probably somebody who could be benefiting and staying warm with these coats this winter if we were to donate them. And wouldn't you like, when you finally, you know, get clear and decide to lose that weight, wouldn't it be a great celebration to go buy a new coat? And he just looked at me and he's like, oh, my God, absolutely. And that was it. The coats went to donation, and that was the end of that, because it was exactly as you said. It was so much better to give it to somebody who needs it now than wait for that someday.
Hmm. And I think that that's the benefit to you being from, you know, the School of Divinity, from looking at things from a holistic standpoint as well as a practical analytical standpoint, because what you're doing is you're helping people deal with the process of letting go as well, because when we say, I think the connotations are, I'm going to lose something, I'm going to be empty of something when I remove something that I've had. But what you do is you help replace that feeling of loss with a feeling of gain by reflecting on how somebody else can benefit from what you have. And that's, I think, when we're it's easier for us to let go. And, you know, that's something that really can help a lot of people get unstuck, because sorting may be okay, scheduling may be okay, looking at things from loved, used, and need, but the hard part is taking that action to actually remove it. And, you know, this is something that people today are going to learn. You have to look at it from a sense of gain instead of a sense of loss. Gain for somebody else, but gain for you, because there's something better waiting for you to take that space. And the more freeing we can make everything around us, the more free we can be to function within it. I think it's brilliant what you do and how many people you help. That's why you're so successful. It's just
thank
great.
You, Deb. Yeah, and it is about reframing. I mean, that's really the best job of a professional organizer. It's not about, do we know the right tool, do we know the right box or bin or whatever to put you in. It's really about reframing this process and supporting and guiding you through it. It's asking the right questions. That's what an organizer needs to do for you and do well. So having someone who knows how to support you by asking those questions and, as you say, turning the loss into a positive is really the best gift an organizer can give.
Right. And I, you know, for all of us listening who love books, which I mean, obviously I wrote a book. I love books. I think it's how can you get somebody's entire life experience or knowledge, you know, in $15 or less? I mean, it's just unbelievable what books offer. However, you know, you answered the question that I was going to ask you, which is, you know, why is a professional organizer going to help us more than just doing it on our own or getting the book? And I think that what you said is it's asking those personal questions to help us get to those personal answers that are going to help us move. And, you know, Albert Einstein, our best thinking got us here. Our best thinking isn't going to get us out. Sometimes we need somebody else's perspective who does this on a regular basis to be able to tell us, you know, maybe there's a way to consider this differently. And then it's like the key turns and the aha moment happens, and it's like, wow, this is great. I'm excited to do this and move forward for great change.
And I would add to that, it is about the questions. The second best gift that an organizer gives is just as a witness to your process. You know, so frequently when you're going through this, if you talk to your family, you talk to your friends or whatever, you know, unless they're in there with you and detached enough from their own agendas to be helpful as opposed to problematic, unless they're in there with you, they're not seeing your struggle. they're not understanding how hard this is for you. They're not, you know, engaging with, you know, how much of an accomplishment it is when you decide to release something that you've been holding on to for 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years. An organizer is. You know, they're there as a witness to your process and to cheer you on, to celebrate with you, to hold you accountable to what you told us your vision was at the beginning, and make sure that you're making decisions in accordance with that. You know, just supporting that process. So it gets to be both, which is one of the reasons why I love our work. It's fantastic.
Yeah, and people that, you know, if you can't be enthusiastic and passionate about what you're doing, nobody else is going to get that way.
Yeah, what the hell are you
really
doing it for?
I think that's fabulous that, you know, you really are using your talents and your gifts. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back for the second half of the show, we're going to talk about inherited belongings. And Erin's going to enlighten us about some of the stages of grief that we'll be going through or could potentially go through in this process, and some of the things that a professional organizer can help us to do to really be free of the emotional or financial attachment. And it's just a real big task. It's something that a lot of boomers are having to deal with, or anybody at any age. And I'm really excited to get into this next session on inherited belongings. And if you want to call in and ask Erin a question, you just dial 347-637-1318. We'll be back in a few seconds.
Is your life crazy? Do you want to transform your challenges into celebrations? You can with the right guidance system. Check out Deb Scott's award-winning book, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up. Readers on Amazon.com give The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue 5-star rave reviews. Visit Deb at greenskyandbluegrass.com to get your copy and sign up for her free Mind Vitamin newsletter. Get The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue and step into your greatness today. Go to greenskyandbluegrass.com now.
Okay, well, welcome back, and it's great. We have Erin Wells joining us again, and she's talking about really something that we're all going to have to deal with, which, whether it be downsizing our own life or dealing with inherited things and having to sort through our parents' things. Erin is going to now tell us some of the things that we can experience or expect to experience, and I know I've gone through this and I'm still going through it, I think. Stages of grief and how that ties into what we need to do as we clear out the clutter and let go of things to embrace new opportunities. So why don't you tell us about that aspect?
Sure, Deb. There are a lot of different models out there. And to start this, I always have to give credit to Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. She was one of the major thinkers and writers and philosophers in some ways. She's really a psychologist, but researchers on this question of grief having stages. But there are so many different models around what the grieving process looks like. The one that I like to use to simplify things when we're talking about dealing with inherited belongings is actually just a three-step model. This is not Kubler-Ross's original model, but the three-stage model that I think about starts with the shock stage. And this is that immediate thing that occurs as soon as you hear about the loss of a loved one, or as soon as a particular major transition happens. And we're talking about inherited belongings, so I'll stick with the loss of a loved one. But I do want everyone to recognize that grief and loss don't just happen when people die. They happen all throughout your life. That's a whole other story. Nevertheless, if you're talking about the loss of a loved one, shock is first. Once the shock fades, that's that period of time when it's like you can't even recognize what's going on and everything kind of freeze frames. As that starts to fade, then people go into the second phase, which is descent. And that's when you start getting into the depression, the anger, the bargaining, all of those hard, deep, challenging emotions that will just kind of turn you inside out. And you have trouble recognizing who you are now or where you are now that this person is no longer part of your world. So the second phase is descent. The third phase, the last of the three model phases, is called emergence. And this is when you start to settle into a new normal, start to feel what your life is going to be like and can be like now in its next sections, in its next phases, in its next chapters. And so it's that last phase that's really when things start to come back into a rhythm. They start to come back into an experience of possibilities and futures and hopes. And those
wow.
are really the three stages that, you are going to go through these. I don't know anyone who gets to avoid doing this as part of a grieving process. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons why they're so universal. They are essential to the human experience of loss.
Okay, so with that being said, when do we start making decisions to, give items away, or maybe there's somebody that has something that they need to get appraised because it's of value? Or, when should somebody, knowing these three stages, when should someone begin the process of removing items? I mean, this is really, and you used the word at the beginning of the show, it's very overwhelming and it's very emotional.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the fact of the matter is there's two sides to this. In one side of the case, it's about logistics. And there are some logistics that end up having to happen quickly, whether you want them to or not. But my advice, my suggestion, having seen this over and over again, is try as much as possible to only make the essential decisions during those first stages. Because basically, when you're in shock or you're in descent, you're not going to be making good decisions. They're going to be really hard, and they're not going to be clear-headed. And so as much as possible, try not to make too many decisions during those phases, because you're going to make better decisions if you get to the emergence. Now, the bad part about this, and I feel horrible saying this in some ways, is that emergence phase might be a ways off. You know, if your grief is really fresh, if your loss is really recent, I would say you probably got 2 years before you're really ready to start asking those questions and making those decisions. Now, that's an average. Some people it's faster, some people it's much longer. But it's really somewhere around that 2 year mark that most often we end up getting the call that we've got the stuff and we need to figure out what to do with it. And people start going, okay, I know I'm finally feeling ready to look at this and to start figuring out how to integrate these things that I got from my mother into my world. So
and I think a lot of people don't want to hear that it is a process and it does take time, but I think it really is important to be aware of this ahead of time. And this is almost like a preemptive strike, I think, for anybody listening. If you know somebody that's dealing with this, share this show with them, share Erin's website with them. Really, I think that being prepared can avoid a lot of train wrecks, because I know myself, and especially with my dad, my mom passed away before my dad, and my dad, having been married 50 years, I mean, he was just,
wow,
get rid of it, I don't care, she's gone, I don't want to deal with it. And the way he dealt with his anger and frustration was to just throw everything out. And I would try to, tell him, look, let's just wait, let's just think about this. And subsequently, he would go looking for things, and he'd say, where is that? Deborah, where is that? And I'd say, Dad, you threw it out. He goes,
yeah.
No, I didn't. I said, no, you did. Because he couldn't even remember some of the things that he was doing because he was so devastated. 50 years with the same person. It was like being amputated. It was for me. And he didn't know what he was doing. And I'm sure people listening have had this experience. And it is devastating. And you feel like a part of you is gone. So help us out here. We get to a place where we're maybe at this emergence level, clinically stated, and we can start dealing with things. How do we start? Where do we go? People may have something that they think is worthless, and it could be really priceless. I mean, where do you begin?
Well, thank you for sharing that story, Deb, because that's exactly the kind of situations I've seen happen. And let me offer you a solution, or offer our listeners a solution for that situation. Because, those decisions made during that descent phase, the anger, the everything else, or just the pain It's just the sadness of it. Okay, don't throw it out. Pack it up. Pack it up and stick it in a storage space, stick it in a, you know, in your basement, whatever, you know, whatever available place, because those are impulsive decisions that usually end up being regretted. As you said, he didn't even remember that he had done that. And so you need to move it out of your immediate view because it's too painful to look at. Okay, that's fine. That's great. That makes perfect sense. But give yourself the time to heal before deciding whether or not this is something you permanently never want to see again. Mm. So my first thing I had to say was, you know, do yourself that favor, do your family that favor, and you know, take that first initial step so that you don't end up with a permanent loss of something that was really loved. So back to the, you know, how do you start, how do you move forward? It's really, I liken this experience to peeling an onion, because there are decisions that immediately after the passing of someone need to be addressed and made, but you know they're kind of they're subset, and so it might be that at first you're making a certain level of decisions that are as essential or necessary as possible. You know, you got to sell the house. Okay, then we got to figure out how to deal with what we've got in it, how to pack it up, how to distribute it to the various people who have expressed interest in it. And, you know, that's the only focus of that, maybe that first phase. Then there's the second phase of everybody's gotten their stuff and now what? You know, it's the, you just got, you know, how many boxes worth of stuff from the passing of your you know, father, and here it is in your house, and now what? And so it ends up being about the timing, and do you stick it away for a little while until you are in a better phase and a better space, mentally, emotionally, et cetera, to deal with it, and to start opening those boxes and making those individual decisions.
Mm. And even taking, I think I like your idea, because I know the real pain is having to look at it. So
yes.
If you box it up, at least it solves that. It may be a Band-Aid to a solution, but it's a good Band-Aid because, you know, the alternative is worse for some people. But I think the other thing is there are items that may or may not be super valuable. I mean, I know for myself there were things that, until I had somebody come in that was an appraiser, I thought things that were really, really worth something, you know, they weren't. And the things that I didn't think anything of, they were really valuable. And I think it is important to have somebody come in and help you discern, you know, those things if you want to get to that next step with some peace. And how do you help people doing that?
Well, you're making a fantastic point. And, yes, we work with appraisers all the time. What I would tell people is make sure you're hiring an independent appraiser, somebody who is not going to come and offer to buy anything from you, because then they have a conflict of interest. You don't want an auction house who's going to take it off your hands and then sell it for you. You want somebody who's an independent person who's knowledgeable, trained, knows how to give you good advice about the value of something, and then the proper method of disposing of it. If it turns out it is valuable, is it valuable like eBay valuable? Is it valuable auction house valuable? You know, what's that really mean, and what's going to be the right avenue or vehicle to make sure you get appropriate compensation for it? So that's really what you would want to look for. Beyond that, you know, one of the things I will say for those of you who are baby boomers or looking down the path of your kids are going to be having the same experience that you're having now, do them a favor and make a list of the valuable objects in your house, because there's no way for them to know. I mean, I had this conversation with my boyfriend. And he is a lover of rare and out-of-print books. And he was pointing out to me that there are books on his shelf worth over $100. There is, in fact, a collection that his family owns that when we look to find it on Amazon, is they have the whole set, and it's worth $1,000 for that set. you know, from my perspective, they're old books. Who cares? You know, that's not something I immediately see value in. And it's not even that old. They're, you know, 1980s. But you might know, or you can do the research to help your family members be able to find and locate and properly dispose of or get value from or choose to keep the things that really are great and the things that really are, you know, amazing collectibles.
Well, and that's so true for all of us, you know, even whether we're dealing with inherited belongings or looking at things from our own perspective, it's what does it mean to you and why does it mean that? And the questions that you said earlier, do you love it, are you using it, and do you need it? And I think that those are really great questions that you've taught us today to help categorize what's important. And also being aware that if we're dealing with an inherited situation, we are going to go through that shock. We are going to go through that dissent or anger. But we do emerge at the other end. And really, we shouldn't be making decisions until we're at that emerging end. But, you know, inevitably, like my own personal experience with my dad, people are going to make decisions in that shock and anger stage. But, you know, if we can do, as you're telling us now, that preemptive, you know, family members that know that they're getting older, do your kids a favor, make those lists, make those items, because that's just something that's going to help everybody. Because it's hard enough dealing with loss and then having to make all these other decisions on top of it. You know, it's just something that is really draining. And it doesn't have to be if we can have somebody like you supporting us, but it's just a lot easier to do everything you can in the front end of things. And
absolutely,
you have,
Deb.
You know, and I think that it's important to give out your website and some of the tips because, you know, you have a lot of, I just want listeners to know, you got to go to Erin's site and get her newsletter, read her blogs. She is an expert in this. And that's what this show is about. Everybody in life, we're all dealing with something. And you know out there where you are and how this touches your heart, and you're not here by accident. So the great thing is having people that you can trust that, you know, I've already done the research on Erin. I know she's trustworthy. So you can go to her website and know that what she's going to tell you is going to be the real deal. And she has videos, she has resources, blogs. So tell us how people can get in touch with you. And if they're in the Boston area, they can meet you in person. But you also work with people all over the country in different ways. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. Well, you can find us at living-peace, P-E-A-C-E, .com. That's, you know, that's the warehouse. That's the main, you know, great content, great information, a lot of stories. We've got case studies up there about different kinds of clients that we work with. It's a great place to start. Otherwise, certainly you can send an email to us at info@living-peace.com. Or you can call us directly, 617-519-5693. And you'll talk to our education liaison, Karen Manser. She's a phenomenal, friendly, warm, supportive person. She wants to hear your story. She wants to help figure out whether or not we can help you. So please feel free to give us a call, 617-519-5693.
And I can definitely be in the Karen fan club. I know her, and she's another person of great integrity who really cares. And, you know, I think the key to anything and all the great ones, people have humility, they have compassion, and you certainly do all of that. Any final word? I can't believe our time is out. We'll have to have you on for the third series. Gee, Sarah, and you're such a hit. I got a chat room full of people, and I'm so sorry. But, you know, you can connect with Erin. You can talk to her. And that's what's so great about the people on the Best People We Know radio show. They're real people that you can meet and talk to and want to help you overcome whatever it is. So what's the final word that you want to leave listeners with today?
Well, I think it's the most important thing you need to know about everything we're talking about this process of inherited belongings, is it's going to take some time. As I said, it's like peeling an onion. Make the decisions you're ready for now, and be okay with the fact that there are some decisions you might need to wait on for a little while. So allow that to happen, And secondly, ask for help. Whether or not you ask for our help or any professional organizer's help, you know, find that support network. Find those people who will be able to take that call when you're feeling overwhelmed and just be there for you, listen, and support you in whatever way they can. It's, none of us have to go through this alone. It's not, that's not what we're here for. And so the more we reach out to each other, the more we help each other, the more we support each other, the easier this process becomes. So,
oh, wow. I tell you, I love what you're about. I love what you're doing. And from personal experience, I know the difference that this can make in your life. So make sure that you connect with Erin, contact her, go to her website, sign up, give her a call. And, you know, if you have a friend or a family member that's dealing with this, share the show with them, share Erin's information with them. Don't suffer alone. Be gentle with yourself. Love yourself. Be kind to yourself. You're worth it. You know, don't suffer this alone. And that's what we're here on this earth to do, is help each other with whatever gift we have. And Erin has a gift, so definitely tap into it. And I just want to remind you, the Motivation Marathon, sign up for that. Motivationmarathon.com. It's a great day. I'm really privileged to be part of that. The people are just absolutely trustworthy, and they have tips and tools, and they're experts, and they're going to help you, you know, get into that ready, set, grow mindset. And it's going to be a lot of fun. And the 30-page Step Into Your Greatness ebook is worth the price of admission. It's awesome. Unbelievable. And then tomorrow, our guest at 11 a.m. is Cheryl Mosley. And Cheryl has worked with the Dalai Lama, Mother Teresa. She's been to, I don't know how many countries, I think like 70. She's unbelievable. She like lives a real movie. It's unbelievable. But tomorrow she's going to really get up close and personal with us and share her experiences and life lessons with Mother Teresa. And how many people have worked with a living saint? I mean, I just think for whatever your faith is, this is going to be a great show for everybody, and you can call in and speak with Cheryl as well. So make sure you tell your friends and tune in tomorrow at 11 when we can learn about the life lessons firsthand from Cheryl, as she spent, I think, 8 different visits with Mother Teresa, and she's just an amazing, amazing soul. So I want to thank you again for being with us. If you like the show, rate us on iTunes, tell a friend, make sure you connect with Erin. Don't suffer. Love yourself. You're worth the effort. No pain. Just call Erin and get the help that you need. And thank you again, whether you're a regular listener or a new listener. We welcome you into our growing family and community. We are committed to helping you be your best, and we provide you with experts and celebrities who have really walked their talk. So we'll see you tomorrow on the Best People We Know radio show. Go out and make it a great
thank
day. God bless. Thank you, Erin.
Best People We Know radio
Bye.
Show with your host, Deb Scott. For more on Deb and her guests, plus her award-winning guidebook to transformation, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up, go to Deb's website, greenskyandbluegrass.com. You can also connect with Deb for coaching or speaking, and sign up for Deb's free Mind Vitamin newsletter while you're there. So now, you're one step closer today to your greatness. We look forward to being with you next time on the Best People We Know radio show.